Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. Today's guest is Samantha Young. Samantha has written contemporary and paranormal romance. Personally, I love her Undoubling Street series, which I've been rereading this year, and the audio is fabulous. For this interview, I invited Tony and Wendy from the Lidwell Flower podcast to interview Samantha. In this chat, we chat about Samantha's writing process and her books. Now let's go to the interview. Hi, Sam. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So happy to have you here. So before we get started, we got Tony and we got Wendy from Lidwell Flower podcast. They're joining me in this interview because they're a super fan of Sam's work, and so we're so excited to chat with her. Hi, Tony. Hi, Wendy. So, Sam, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, that's always a difficult question for some reason, isn't it? It's like, oh my God, your brain goes blank. Well, as you can probably tell from my accent, I was born and raised in Scotland. I've been writing professionally now for almost a decade, and I write across adult and young adult reading levels and across genres: contemporary fiction, contemporary romance, urban fantasy, paranormal romance, and oh gosh, what else? I like cake. That's a little bit about me.
This is so exciting.
That I like cake. Yes, it's exciting that I like it cake.
I love that.
Yeah, so you are from Scotland, and I've been to Edinburgh maybe 2 years ago, and I know they have a lot of writers there, and that writing museum also. Like, what inspired you to become a writer? Was it just Scotland in general, or did you want to do that forever?
I've wanted to be a writer for a long time. I mean, as a Scottish people are storytellers, we're born storytellers. Yes. But I guess really what inspired me was a book, which makes sense. It was The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. And I read it when I was seven, and I think I was pretty much a goner on books from that moment on. It was so magical, and I'd never experienced anything quite as magical as that book until that point. And I just started to write my own stories from then on. And that was it, as they say.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. I love that book, by the way. I think it's like so inspiring. So I love that you were inspired by it and become a storyteller.
Yeah, it's such a magical book. Who doesn't want to disappear at the back of a wardrobe into another world?
Yeah. Yeah. So what was your journey to get that first book published?
Well, my first book, I self-published it. And it was kind of, I was pushed into one of those nothing left to lose moments. I'd graduated from uni. I was struggling to find a job. I was living back with my parents. And it was kind of a low point, actually, because of the student debt and just, you know, struggling to find work. And I'd written a book at uni. I'd written Moonspell. And I started to learn about self-publishing through Amanda Hawking. So I picked up one of her books, and what kind of sparked my interest was how cheap it was, you know, because obviously as a struggling graduate, I was looking for cheaper books. Mm-hmm. And at the time it was like 72 pence on ebook on Amazon. Wow. And so I started looking into why that was, and I discovered that she'd self-published. So I had this book I'd written most of the second book, and I just started researching how she did it, and in February 2011 decided to publish on Moonspell, the first book. So that's really how I published first, with self-publishing.
I love this. And you're a hybrid author, so you have some traditional published
books as well as some self-publishing books. What do you love about each one of those, tracks,
Well, I think with self-publishing, obviously it's being able to control everything, how much the book is going to be, being able to be so flexible with your book. It's different with traditional publishing in that if there is an error that you somehow let slip past, you can go back and fix that with an indie book and re-upload it, and there's an update available for all your readers. So it's small things like that that kind of add up. And obviously financially the royalties are better when you're self-published. It's depending on your price, it's a 70% royalty rate. But with traditional publishing, what I love about that is I really have learned so much from my editors through traditional publishing. I have a fantastic indie editor and I've learned tons from her as well, but it's great to work with all these different editors. And also seeing the book in bookstores is a big one. I mean, that's what I dreamed of since I was a kid. And my books are published in 30 countries, which is just, it's possible as an indie author, obviously, to be translated, but I'm just not sure I could have achieved the scale of my foreign language translations if I'd attempted to do that alone.
That's fascinating. I personally love both of, both of the work that you've done, because you have you have a lot of backlist titles, which is awesome for someone who's needs something to read and is okay, I need more of this author, and you're one of those authors who's prolific in that way. So
yeah, well, I'm the same as a reader. I just discovered Catherine Cowell's books over the weekend, and it's she has a backlist. Yay.
Yes, we gotta love that. It's it's perfect. You just have one author and you just have one book. For me, it was on Dublin Street, and then I just went back to your backlist, and it was just an amazing journey.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm so glad you enjoyed them.
Yeah. So do you follow an outline, or do you just start writing and then see where the story goes? I know Joss in the story, she had a lot of writer's block situation. So how do you formulate your story?
I do have, I do start with an outline. It's kind of a bit of a both actually now. When I first started out, I was very, I had that process where I had notebooks and I wrote an outline for characters and for chapter summaries and overall plot proposal as well. But I think as you get more experience, it becomes more natural, if you know what I mean. And so over the years, I still have some character notes and outline and kind of overall plot, but those in-depth chapter summaries, I don't really do them anymore. I can kind of just go with it now based on my experience of writing for the past 10 years. I do heavier outlines when I'm writing paranormal and fantasy, just because of the world building.
Yeah.
I also keep spreadsheets with all the information on it, because my memory is terrible. So I have to go back to them to remember what happened in this book and who did what in that book. And I suppose short story, it depends on the genre I'm writing in.
Fascinating.
So how do you develop your characters? Do they come to you? Do you brainstorm ideas, or do they just come naturally?
It can be both. I actually, music is a huge inspiration for me, and so I love, I'm a huge fan of storyteller music, which obviously will come as no surprise. And sometimes I'll hear a song that just inspires a character. I love Lord Huron, and there's a song on one of their albums, and it really did inspire Keo from Bind by Forever. And so I get inspiration from all different places, really, for the characters. And if I hear a true story, I will steal from it. if my family or friends are telling me a story that I find fascinating, I'll be like, you know what, I could take some of this and create a character out of this story,
Yeah.
So they know to be careful what they're telling me.
I remember, there was an interview you did a while ago where they were what's your inspiration for Brayden? Because all of us are obsessed with Brayden, and you're that's how he acts as every Scotsman that I know. And I was I need to move to Scotland right now.
I didn't say he looked like every Scotsman. But he definitely, yeah, he's definitely got that. I don't know, it's something in the water here. There's just an innate cockiness to Scotsmen, really.
I love it. And I love that you said that about music, because I think at the end of Down London Road, the song was Stay by Rihanna. That like encapsulates the mood of the whole book. And I love that so much.
Yeah, that song, definitely. I had to put it into the book because it really, I take walks with my headphones on and listen to music while I'm plotting. And that every time that song played on the playlist, it just inspired so many scenes from the book. And I thought, it has to be in there.
Yeah.
So, Sam, you write various genres. You write for a novel, contemporary romance, contemporary fiction. What is the process of developing the books? Like, do you write them all at once, or do you write one at a time? Or what's the process of just identifying which goes where?
I try as much as possible to write books one at a time. Mm-hmm. It can get overwhelming when you're trying to write two books at once. I've had to do it because of deadlines. Just as we were talking about being a hybrid author, sometimes my deadline with my traditional publisher would be, you know, kind of crossing over with a deadline with my indie editor. So I have had to do that. I prefer it if that's going to be a paranormal versus contemporary, because those are quite easy to separate. It's harder when you're writing two contemporary romances at the same time, because it's such a challenge to make sure that they're not leaking into each other, you know, keeping the characters separate and the character development separate. So yeah, I do try and mostly succeed to just write one book at a time.
Can you please talk to us about your new book coming out, Bound by Forever, and what was the source of inspiration other than the Lord Heron song about you, and what can we expect from the book?
Well, one of the things that I love most about this series is the setting, believe it or not. I love making the characters travel across the world, because it's such a great way to drive action into the story. And these are really action-packed books in this series. So it's fun to put them in different countries and try to bring that part of it to life. And when I introduced Kyo in Kiss of Vengeance, I knew that his Japanese heritage would really inspire Bound by Forever and where I would go with it, and it definitely did. Readers can expect the same kind of feeling of adventure and travel, but they can also expect to stop in Japan for a while with Neve and Kyo. So that was great fun to write, and again, there's plenty of action. It's a very slow burn romance, and I think it's my favorite of the series. And the ultimate villain is finally revealed in this book as well, going forward into the final book next year.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
My boyfriend was like, explain to me in one sentence what this series is about. I was like, Matrix meets Maleficent equals True Immortality. Yeah.
That's awesome.
He like stopped and he's like, I kind of want to read it. I was like, right?
That's amazing.
So for those that missed the anthology of Tempted by Fae, I know is a limited time release. How can they find that story, like just the 2.5 of on your like your novella in it?
A Kiss of Eternity, it's kind of the bridging story from Kiss of Vengeance to Bound by Forever, and it's actually up on my website now to download for free.
There you go.
And then we saw parallels from On Dublin Street and in War of Hearts. Was that intentional? Because of course there's a Joss and a Braden, and then there's like we saw it that way, and then there was a sick sister and then a best friend. So
yep,
we're wondering if that was intentional.
It was, and very well picked up on.
<That's what happened>.
So, the thing is, the reason I kind of drew parallels between the two was because it was such a nerve-wracking and big deal for me to not only return to paranormal romance, but to return to the adult reading level after, you know, creating such a big audience in contemporary romance. So there are paranormal readers who will happily cross over into contemporary romance, but it's harder to ask a contemporary romance reader to cross over into paranormal. Mm-hmm. So I kind of thought about what people loved most about On Dublin Street, and it was really, other than the romance, it was the family aspect. It was the fact that Joss had no one, she'd lost her family, and then Braden and Ellie came along and they offered her one. So I kind of thought, I'm going to bring those qualities to War of Hearts in the hopes that it would endear my contemporary readers to take a chance on the paranormal genre. And from some of the feedback I've gotten, because I have some readers who are like, you know, I've never read paranormal, but because it's you, I'm going to give it a shot. And they've read it and they've loved it. And I really do think it's got something to do with kind of creating that dynamic again in War of Hearts.
Oh my God. I was like, oh my God, this is Ellie and Adam. Adam is, and like, he
like
won't,
the beta.
Won't sing that he's in love. It was so good. So on Dublin Street, Joss tells Braden she writes fantasy because reality has no authority there. My imagination controls everything. Is that how you feel, like with fantasy and paranormal?
Yeah, I think a lot of fantasy and paranormal writers probably do feel that way, because there are very few limits in that genre. And in part of what makes writing special is the omniscience. You know, as the author, we know all, and we can also control the outcome of any situation for our characters. And I think it's the same thing you get when you're rereading a favourite book. You know the ending, but it doesn't make the journey to get to it any less enjoyable the second, third or 50th time. And that's what it's like when you're writing kind of not just fantasy but contemporary as well. You can kind of you know what's going to happen, you know, and that's there's a joy and a kind of safety in that.
And then this year you came out with The Truest Thing.
So good. Oh my God.
Thank you.
We dived into it right away, pre-ordered everything. And then at the end, like, will we see a novella for Kat and Sebastian or their own book?
It is a possibility. I just needed to take a wee step back creatively from Heartsboard work, just because I had so many other ideas percolating that I really wanted to explore. But I'm hoping to return to it. I don't have an exact date, perhaps 2022, to give readers Kat and Sebastian's novella.
Oh yay! We can wait.
Thank you.
We waited this long for Jack and Emery. We can wait for Kat and Sebastian. So we're okay.
I know. It's been slow going for Heartsboard work readers. I do apologize.
With the upcoming show Bridgerton coming out on Netflix, this could be a gateway for romance to film or romance to TV series. If you can choose any of the series that you've had adapted, which one would it be and why?
Definitely On Dublin Street series. And I think mostly because that's what readers would want to see turned into either a TV show or a film. Mm-hmm. And after being inside that world for so long, I mean, I can't remember. It was a good few years I was writing that series. So it would be amazing to see the characters brought to life on screen. But I'd also love to see True Immortality as a TV show, just because I love sci-fi shows, but also because I just think it would make for great TV. There's so much action in it. But I suppose location would be an issue. It would be expensive to make.
Yeah. I'm telling you, pitch it like that. Yes. Matrix meets Maleficent.
Yeah.
On Dublin Street, like, that would be amazing. Your books, honestly, they're the reason why I was able to navigate Edinburgh when I went.
Oh my gosh, that's
awesome.
This
is what Sam said in her books, so I'm going the right way.
That's amazing. I love that. That's awesome.
So, Sam, what are some of your upcoming projects? I know you have a traditional publish coming up in February. What else is coming up for you?
Well, I'm I'm starting a brand new series that I can't say much about because I'm still working out the details. I can see that I'm returning to Scotland for this one, and it will centre around a group of siblings, and it's set in the Highlands, and it will be around a kind of exclusive members only, you know, like one of these VIP clubs that celebrities pay a lot of like big annual fees to go to. So I'm hoping to release the first one in May next year. And that will be followed by the final installment in the True Immortality series in August.
Oh, yay. And you have
Much Ado About You is out February 2nd.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Oh my gosh, 3 books in 1 year? Yay. We are not worthy. Oh my God.
We'll have us and the young fixed throughout the whole year. That's gonna be amazing.
I'm glad you're looking forward to it.
Yeah. Oh, tell us where we can find you online.
Oh, online. I am online mostly on my Facebook private reader group, Sam's Clan McBookish. So readers can join the clan and get lots of behind the scenes stuff that they won't find anywhere else. Facebook. My author page on Facebook and Instagram, and I'm also on Goodreads. I share my book recommendations on Goodreads and BookBub.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Samantha, for being on the show.
Oh, thanks very much for having me. It's been great talking to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatyournextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATYOURNEXTBLOG10 to save. Visit whatyournextblog.com/QueenBeeReads. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.